Hey, you guys, welcome to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I thought we would have a little bit of a different setting this week. So if you guys do follow me on YouTube, I will be posting this podcast over there. So go check it out. I will link it down below. But this week, let's have like a complete no judgment, nothing conversation when we're talking about getting over someone. It is no joke and it takes a really long time, especially depending on how the breakup actually happened, whether or not you broke up with them, or they broke up with you, whether there was cheating. I mean, there's like so much involved and it's so incredibly hard and painful to like go through these situations. So the reason why I wanted to make this video is because sometimes we don't realize, like we think we are actually over someone and we're really not. So I wanna give you some indications that maybe there are still some lingering feelings going on inside of you and really what to do about it. Remember, this is absolutely a no judgment conversation. Getting over someone, especially someone that you really loved, especially someone that maybe you even had a family with or built a life with, is no joke. Before we do get into this week's episode, you guys, I am so excited to finally announce that we are going to be doing an entire course all on narcissism. I feel like the amount of videos and years that I have talked about this, and recently in the last like 6 months, you guys were asking me constantly, when are you coming out with a narcissistic video? When are you coming out with a narcissistic course? Like, I need to understand this person. So we're gonna get into all the things narcissism in my new course, which is launching right now. You guys can actually download it. I will put all of the links down below. There's also a ton of information on my website in terms of free tips and things that you can start working on within yourself. There are different online courses that you have access to forever, whether it's self-parenting, which I know you guys really, really love the self-parenting course because you guys want to know basically how do I actually do this stuff in my life every single day. So I will link that as well. You can go check that out down below. Now I'm going to go through a really long list and I'm going to tell you honestly and truthfully the things that I did myself. Number one, let's all own it, checking someone's social media. Did I do it? I honestly would say I did it probably 5%. I did it. It was in the very, very beginning I did it. And you know what? I actually told myself that, and this was the truth. I really, really did tell myself. First off, I had to tell friends and family not to send me anything because I didn't care, you know, or even if I did care, like, why would I want to know that information? It's actually hurtful. Like, I don't want to see, you know, the engagement picture. I don't want to see the wedding picture. I don't want to see who this person is. Like, I don't care. It's only going to cause me pain. And I don't know why sometimes friends and family feel the need to show us that stuff. I think they might think that they're helping us, but they're really just not. So first off, if you are a person that, you know, look, Steph, this is not my thing. I do not check this person. Maybe you need to tell friends and family to like back off and not show you anything. Maybe you are a person that just like wholeheartedly is stalking your ex on social media. Whether you do it a little, whether you do it a lot, for me, where completely I just cut it all together was when I got it. I'm like, look, Steph, every time you do this, nothing good is gonna come of it. Nothing. Like, you are not going to feel better. If anything, you're probably going to feel worse. So why are we doing this? That right there, like, was a game changer for me because I switched my mindset and I let go of the addictiveness to want to just keep checking and checking for no reason at all, what, to just cause me pain. So I just started to be, I started being more diligent on where I was really putting my energy and focus. And if something was not going to make me feel good, I was not going to be doing it. Now, if you're doing it constantly and then of course you're creating these stories of like, oh, look, they're so happy, or oh, look this, or I wasn't good enough, or whatever that looks like, you have to learn the self-discipline to not get tangled up in that drama, to not get tangled up in all those stories and all of that inner conversation that's going to make you feel bad about yourself. Like, this is a phase of your life, whether you're 24 hours out of the breakup, whether you are 6 years out of it, this is the time of your life where you are really wholeheartedly working on yourself. Like, this is all about you. So if this is all about you, then you giving your attention to something that is not going to serve you, nor is it going to make you feel good, we're not doing that anymore. The second thing, and I think this more so has to do with the people that have to see their ex in some way, but It's basically the drama. Like, you know that you actually want to have interactions with this person, whether it's drama, whether it's you want interactions with them because maybe you want some validation, maybe you just want to be around them because you're trauma bonded to them, maybe you're addicted to them in some unhealthy way, which all of those things are unhealthy, but there's some kind of pull that you have towards this person that makes you want to be around them. Whether it's, like I said, getting validation or just being around them in some way, maybe even trying to like hook them back, or if it's not and it's just you wanting to have interactions with them even though you know nothing good ever comes of it and it's just going to stir up some drama and then you're going to go, you know, either going toe to toe with this person or you just, you need to be around them in some way. I'm trying to think if I definitely did not want to be around this person. Like when they tell you go no contact, I mean, I obviously couldn't, like I had a child, so I had to co-parent and I'm still co-parenting, but I did not want to have conversations with this person. Even in the very beginning, I even made it a point to almost not have conversations with this person because it was so dramatic. It was so toxic. It was, I mean, talk about PTSD on like the highest level. Anytime the text message would come through, I knew it was going to be some kind of drama. Anytime there was a phone call or I had to do an exchange, it was just such a bad environment. And not that it was just yelling and screaming and just, you know, crazy stuff happening. It was just such a toxicity. It just wasn't a good feeling to be around this person. So if I could have went no contact, it would have been like the best thing in the world. But I will say, when you cannot go no contact and you have to deal with someone, you are going to learn how to deal with your own triggers. You're going to have to, because you're getting triggered constantly. So I always tell people, if you have to be around a person, look at it as a lesson that you're learning in order for you to kind of like up level some stuff, some insecurities, wounds, all of those things within yourself. This is where you're going to learn from this person instead of just being triggered from this person. All right, the next thing. Do you always want to look absolutely amazing around this person? Every picture you're posting on social media, you're using as many filters as you can, you're, you know, sucking in the waist a little bit somewhere. I think you can do that kind of stuff, right? Whether you have to have an interaction with this person, you just make sure that you always look put together. Like, you ain't walking out that door without a little bit of makeup on and maybe even a lot of makeup. Do you still care what this person thinks of you? Do you still want this person to think of you in a certain way or to be attracted to you or to want you? I think for me, to be honest, in the very beginning, you have to remember my situation was different because when he asked me for a divorce, it was a month after we had our first child or had our son. And so I'm already like 50 pounds overweight. I am swollen, hormonal. Like, in hindsight, I don't even know how I even got through that. But I think sometimes when you are just forced to go through difficult situations, it's when you realize, oh my God, I'm actually really incredibly strong and I don't even realize it sometimes. And I can go through a lot of stuff. But for me, in the very beginning, I was so vulnerable. So the first probably year was let's really paint the picture here. I'm a month out from having my son, still got, you know, the stitches in basically from my cesarean, like hormonal, overweight, breastfeeding. I mean, you're a mess. You are a mess after you have a child. And now my husband's leaving me. And like, let's put all the pieces together here. It's a little obvious what happened next. He's leaving me for someone else. So now, and this person's like, I mean, like way younger than me, although that didn't really matter to me. I really didn't care how old she was or if she was younger or older. And I will say, honestly, I am not really that intimidated by a lot of people. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care anything about you. I don't oftentimes feel very intimidated by anyone because I understand that everyone's human and I don't feel as though someone is above me in that way. So wholeheartedly, it wasn't about intimidation. It was more about feeling rejected in the most vulnerable time of my life. All right, the next thing. And this is, again, I think some of these things really, it depends on whether or not you still have to deal with this person. But for me, since I had to co-parent, I wasn't about to go no contact with this person. So, and I see this often where you want this person to like approve of you. So whether it is you want them to you know, still be attracted to you or think of you in a certain way, or whether it's when you start really enforcing your boundaries, you want this person to agree with you and to see your side, you still have this like lingering, I don't want you to look at me in a bad way. I don't want you to think of me in a bad way. This, I definitely did not struggle with whatsoever. I think the only time where maybe I would get frustrated with what he maybe thought of me was if he had all made any kind of inkling towards me being a mom. If there was anything towards me being selfish or this or that, that is probably when I got a little, no, I wouldn't say erratic, but that was really what triggered me the most, was don't tell me or try to convince me that what I'm doing is selfish when really what it's called is boundaries. And I was not about to always 100% of the time put Ryan first when I'm getting dumped on. So I have to also show my son what it means to have self-respect and what it means to have boundaries. And as a mother, I had to learn that fine line and not feel guilty for putting myself first or for enforcing those boundaries when I'm being gaslit to make me feel like I'm wrong for doing what I'm doing. But I know a lot of people, you know, really will struggle with that, and they'll become very triggered, they'll become very erratic, they will go off on their partner because they're basically trying to trigger you. And so you kind of have to figure out what are the things that this person does or says that triggers me. And for me, that was definitely a big one. That's when I probably, if there was ever a time where I was trying to convince this person that I was a good person or that there was a reason why I was doing what I was doing and it was a valid reason, it more so had to do with these types of examples. I think the next thing, and we have all felt this, I have felt it, you have felt it, it's just missing the relationship, missing the chemistry, missing the interactions between the two of you, because that was your person. That was the person you were in a relationship with. So this is where it's not about this person being unhealthy or toxic. This is just about you missing what it is that you had, but making sure that you don't create a story that what you had was so incredibly amazing. And I think a lot of people do that. They look at the pros of that relationship and they start creating this really general story about how this person was so incredibly amazing, and they're forgetting all the bad things. They're forgetting how, you know, maybe they couldn't emotionally connect with them. Maybe they're forgetting that they cheated on them or they left them for someone else, or they could never really see them, or maybe they weren't loyal, or maybe they weren't a hard worker, or whatever it is. Basically, the core qualities that you're actually looking for in a friendship, we're not even talking romantic partner, we're just talking about friendship, because really that's what a romantic partner is. It's a friend that you are intimate with physically. And so what you're looking for is this friendship. And if you're looking at your ex-partner, were they really, really a great friend to you? Was the behavior consistent in your relationship with them? Did they want the same things as you? Did they share the same values as you? Did they want to live the same life as you? And usually there's a lot of no's in there, and we tend to overlook that and just create this like, well, we had great chemistry and he was fun to be with and it was such a good time. And then we went on this one trip and he did this romantic thing. And we get focused on those things and we start creating these stories and then we get stuck. So if you find yourself like romanticizing still and not being a little bit more logical and realistic to who this person actually was, and really doing this comparison here, this is what I want, this is what I'm looking for, this is who this person is, are they good for me? I mean, let's start really like checking some boxes off. Were they actually good for me? And guess what? The answer is going to be no. If you are still crying, you know, a lot, which is normal, is very normal. There is absolutely no judgment on what you feel, when you feel it, and how you feel it. So I don't care if you're, you know, 3 years out. I don't care if you're 6 months out. I don't care the amount of time. Really don't. If you feel the need to get some kind of anger, frustration, sadness out, it needs to come out. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're not over your ex, but it does mean if it's happening really consistently for a very long time, then yeah, there's still some feelings there that are still a little unresolved. I think we all do this in the early stages of a breakup or divorce, where we start to like dissect our own actions. We dissect this person. We want to know everything about why they are the way they are, who they are. We start learning all the terminology, and like on some level, it starts to make us feel a little bit better. And then we start to like move on to the next thing, which is maybe there was something wrong with me. And we start kind of like blaming ourselves, and we start to think that maybe we did something wrong. We start over analyzing all of these situations and scenarios. Where was I being too pushy? Was I nagging too much? Was I this? Was I that? And we're just very critical on ourselves, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to feel better. We're trying to make someone at fault so we can point the finger somewhere, rather than just saying this happened and it's, and there's no reason for it happening. It just didn't work out. Like sometimes we can't in the very early stages come to terms with that. And so we start overanalyzing a lot. The struggle with this, and I mean, I did this in the very beginning for sure, because when someone leaves you for another person, it's normal to kind of sit there and go, wait a minute, what did I do? Like, was I not good enough? Like, it's not like, oh, okay, we had a breakup and then there was like 6 months where neither of us were dating someone and then you found someone else. It was such a gut-wrenching thing to say, okay, clearly you weren't happy because you were in the relationship with me, dipping your toe somewhere else, having a great old time with someone else, building a relationship with someone else, and I'm still sitting here thinking that we're in a marriage and having a family together. So for me, I think anyone that's ever been cheated on or left for someone, it is normal to look at that person, look at yourself and go, okay, did I do something wrong? But honestly, for me, I always knew that I was a good person. Like I knew I was a good wife. I know I'm a caring soul. Like I know I'm a good person. And any bit of wounds that I had that I carried into that relationship, in my mind, nothing that I ever did warranted that behavior. I always knew that. And so I think sometimes when I would get upset or cry, it was more of just like the frustration of this sucks. Like, so I kind of actually, when I saw the person that he was with, I did understand why he probably went there. Because it was easier. I challenged him, I think, in a lot of ways that he didn't want to be challenged on. And vice versa, I think, at the time. I don't think I was ready to stand up for myself during that relationship. And I wasn't really comfortable with boundaries. I didn't really fully know who I was, and I wasn't fully confident in that. And I think when you put those two people in a relationship, like, yeah, it's not going to work out. So in that sense, I understood like what was happening. And I knew that I didn't do anything wrong. What frustrated me the most was my situation with, I just got married. We had just bought our first house. I just had our first child together. And like, so my life was kind of just starting in that sense. And then it was over. And now I'm doing it all by myself. That was probably the most painful part. Not really losing someone that just didn't value me or love me the way I wanted to be loved. That wasn't as hard of a blow. It was more about the dream that I had was gone. Whether you were struggling with just like idealizing this person or putting them on a pedestal or dwelling on the things that you did in the relationship, I think in the beginning, those are things that really happen because, again, we're seeking answers. And you can really cause yourself a lot of pain in your recovery if you aren't mindful of what it is that you're doing and how what you're doing is causing yourself pain. So it's so incredibly important to recognize what you're doing, whether or not that's the truth, whether or not it's a made-up story, and what you should be doing to focus your energy on your future and moving forward than kind of like sitting in the past constantly trying to figure out what happened. But again, I think a big part of this, because when I talk to you guys on the phone, I have never talked to anyone that when I asked this question, the answer wasn't no. When I say, do you or did you respect this person? No. Do you really wholeheartedly think that this person is right for you? No. So what are we doing? So what we're doing is we're mourning what was supposed to be. We're not mourning the person. And that's what I did for a really long time. I didn't mourn the person. I mourned what was supposed to be. And you can stay stuck there. I know people that are still living in that space. And those are the people that tend to be very angry, very bitter, because they feel like they were cheated out of something that was never going to happen, because they're living in a fantasy of what they thought was going to happen. And the reality is that was never actually even going to happen. So you kind of have to be realistic with yourself on, was I going to have the relationship, the marriage, the whatever that I truly, truly want? The answer is going to be no. Now, that doesn't mean that, okay, I'm going to be so logical throughout this whole thing, and then this is going to make this healing process swift. It's going to go by super fast. No, you're still going to feel, you're still going to cry, you're still going to be emotional, you're going to be, you know, a little erratic at times, you're going to be all over the place. But the logical stuff does help you to start to kind of like process and not stay stuck somewhere for too long. I remember one time someone asking me if he wanted to come back, if he realized what he did and wanted to come back, what would you say? And I remember bawling my eyes out when I answered that, because the quick answer was absolutely not, but there was a part of me that wanted to say yes. It's like, and that struggle to say no, I cannot ever take you back, or this could never work out again, and having to like really, really close that chapter of your life is hard. But again, it kind of goes back to the dream and what was supposed to be. And any ending, whether it's a good one or a bad one, they're just painful. They're just difficult, because what follows next is change. And we don't like change, especially the change that we didn't ask for, that we weren't ready for. And I mean, hell, sometimes even the change that we do ask for, it's not easy to go through it. And it's difficult sometimes. And maybe we didn't even realize how difficult it was going to be. So please, throughout this entire process that you're in, let me reiterate what I needed to hear at the time. Number one, you are going to get through this. You are no different than me. You are no different than anyone else who's been through what it is that you're going through right now. Sitting here 10 years after my divorce and my situation, I can tell you that time does heal. I can tell you that what you do in that time is so incredibly valuable and important, not just towards finding another relationship, but having a great life. I will say that Googling and trying to understand personalities and why things happened are helpful to a certain extent, and then you have to cut that, and then you have to start really working on yourself. I would say that make sure that you really examine the relationship and being brutally honest with, is this or was this person actually really right for you? You know, one of the easiest things that we can say is, someone who doesn't want to be with me is not the person that's right for me. And that's not a personal attack. That doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. That doesn't mean that you're not worthy. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough. Not every person is going to want to be in a marriage with you or be in a relationship with you. And that doesn't have anything to do with you as a person. That just means that you're with someone that cannot see your value for whatever those reasons are. We can say that maybe they're crazy, or they're narcissistic, or they're wounded and they can't really see us and value us. Who cares? Who cares? What matters is that you work on yourself while you are going through this process. And that's what this is all about. And that's what I'm here to do. And that's what these videos are for. And that's what the podcast is for. And that's what the coaching and the courses are for, is to help you not only heal, but to rebuild. Because rebuilding is the funnest time of your life, and you're always rebuilding. So it's not just about rebuilding after a breakup or divorce, because I'm still rebuilding. I'm rebuilding in like this next phase of my life. And when you learn the skills, when you go through transitions and you have to rebuild again, or whatever that looks like, it just is easier to go through these transitions than if you don't know this information. So you guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast and watching us here on YouTube as well. I will see you in the next episode. Comment down below things that you know that you still do this is a no judgment community because we've all done them. The things that you know you still do. And the reason why I want you to comment down below is because this helps you to just be accountable for them, to be mindful of them going forward. So I wish you guys all the best. Take care.